If you're able and willing, shall we all please stand as we give reverence to the Word of God? Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Okay, are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse number 1, ready, go. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being sent of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. God bless his word. Shall we pray? Our most precious, almighty, loving Father, Lord, we come unto you this day. Lord, please fill me up with the Holy Spirit. Lord, use me mightily, O God, that it's not me who will be lifted up, it's you, O God. Lord, that whatever words that will come out of my mouth, it will be according to your will, O Lord. I pray, O God, that you would open our hearts, be receptive of your word. Dear Father, all these things I pray in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. The title of the message this morning is about mission, of course, on a mission. Every Christian is part of a mission. Every Christian is part of a mission. The mission is to reach the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of us, most everybody loves to watch the thrill and drama of someone, you know, on a special mission. On August 23, 2010, in the Philippines, there was a very, something that happens in the capital city of Manila. There was a hostage taking. There were tourists, Chinese tourists. They were taken hostage by a Filipino policeman. And then, true to that, every circumstances, the government would send, you know, like, things like this that will happen, they would send in the special weapons and tactics. We call it SWAT, the SWAT team. And we who are watching that news would be thrilled. What would be the result? Of course, it would be a lot of suspense. That when it would fail, the mission would fail, it would become a disaster. All right? So in Acts chapter 8, in the book of Acts, chapter 8, we see there Philip and the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit guided and directed Philip on a mission to approach this Ethiopian eunuch with the gospel. Let me give you a little bit of a lesson this one. Yes, it's good to do some letterboxing in Victoria. Every Saturdays, we go out and letterbox. It's not bad. It's good to letterbox. But it is very good if we need also to tell the gospel personally. Because as we look on this chapter, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah. And then Philip came to him because the Holy Spirit directed him to come. It was the Holy Spirit, if you read that book. And it was then that the Ethiopian eunuch, how gloriously he was saved. He was saved because of Philip. Now, in the New Testament churches today, it is the mission of every New Testament church today that we need to reach this world with the gospel. It is our duty. It is not the responsibility of the government. It is not the responsibility of the schools. It is not even the responsibility of, say, the United Nations. This commission, this responsibility has been given to us. Mark chapter 16, 15, before Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, what does he say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He was telling this to his disciples. It is not only up to that level. It is not only up to the disciples. Today, if you are saved, if you are born again, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, it is also your responsibility. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. It says there that we are also a watchman. The Lord was telling Ezekiel, you will be a watchman. If we tell those people about their wickedness, about their that their soul would go to hell if they will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not telling them, their bloods will be upon our hands. That was the that's the verse it's talking about. So we are responsible. It is our responsibility as Christians. And we need to see all of ourselves as Christians on a mission. On a mission. We need to work together as a team. We need to prioritize our lives. And we need to battle our real enemies. Because our real enemy is the world out there, Satan. We are in competition with Satan. Satan does not want people to go to heaven. He is also on double time now, triple time, bringing people also with him to hell. And it is our responsibility as Christians also. We will prioritize our lives. We need to battle our real enemies. Jesus Christ was on a mission to this earth. A mission that he could only accomplish. Because it's only through Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It is only through the name of Jesus Christ, isn't it? A mission he could only accomplish. But he passed on some task to you and me. That is the commission, the gospel. The task that we can accomplish only through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a task that has been passed to us that we could only be realized, that we could only be, we could only accomplish it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a mission. We have a mission. Each one of us has a mission. And that makes each one of us also a missionary. There's some thinking, not all maybe, but I was one of them before, that mission work is just for missionaries. Okay, there's a missionary coming, okay. We're glad to hear. We'll pray for you. Because that's our thinking, that mission work is just for missionaries. But no, mission work is for everyone. It is for everyone. You may say, where is my mission field? Every time when you go out of that door, that is your mission field. Everywhere you see lost that needs the gospel, that is your mission field. And that makes us, every one of us, as missionary. We have a mission. We have a reason for existence beyond our lives, and that is called others. We live for others. We need to witness for others. If we say we are saved, and then we are not going evangelism, we are not doing soul winning, we are not telling people about Jesus Christ, let me say to you, you are a selfish Christian. Because you only would like to go to heaven by yourself. All of us as friends, in our workplace, we have workmates that needs to hear the gospel. Remember Ezekiel chapter 3? If we will not tell them about Jesus Christ, their blood will be upon our hands. But if you have also told them about Jesus Christ and still they neglect that so great salvation, your hands will be free from that blood, from their blood. Right? So we have a mission. Number one, in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says here, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. This first three verses is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Taken up, that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let me submit to you this morning. The person of missions is Jesus. The person of mission is Jesus Christ. There is a man in the Philippines, he started his own religion. His name is Apollo Kibuloy. He said he is the appointed son of God. And just 2 years ago, he said, the Father told me that now, from this time right now, I own the world. He has 6 million followers all over the world now. He has a lavish amount of properties. He's got a jet plane. He's got a helicopter. So sad. He said the Garden of Eden is now in his place. Very beautiful place. But let me tell you this morning that the person of missions is Jesus Christ alone. The world always associates great events with people, right? Every Australian Day, we have what we call Australian Man, right? Australian Man of the Year. Australian of the Year. People will nominate because of their examples in their lives that we want to follow. But our example in missions, our example in our soul winning is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example. You find God reaching mankind from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through this present time. We find God still reaching for mankind. You will find Jesus also as the heartbeat of God. If you want to know what mission is, you need to look at the life of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what is missions, if you want to know what is soul winning, we need to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. His existence, his reason of existence in this world. From the start, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he was not just on a holiday. God the Father did not send him, okay, Jesus Christ, you go to the Philippines, you go to the earth, you go to the world and just enjoy. Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father for God's love to us. John 3:16, very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see the life of our Lord Jesus Christ from the start. When he met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, what did he do? He witnessed to her. He told that woman that only me can have. Only me is the source of the living water. Jesus Christ is the only source of the living water. And to the time that he called out his disciples, what did he say to these disciples? Come after me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Leave your nets. Follow me. Do not fish anymore. Fish. Let us fish men. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that we need to leave our jobs and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. No. There are souls out there. We can witness without leaving our jobs. We can witness without living our life. To the time he faced also Jesus Christ faced an angry mob surrounding a woman. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery. What did he do to that woman? He said, "Go and sin no more." He forgave her sins. And to the time also that he witnessed to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him. Jesus Christ showed him how to be born again. And all the way to the cross, Jesus Christ was what? He witnessed to that thief. That if you believe in me, you can come with me to paradise. So the life of Jesus Christ here on earth, he was witnessing. He was winning souls. So it is this life that Jesus lived that defines missions. Missions is simply the gospel. All right? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ never changes. He never changes. He said in the book, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the gospel also doesn't change. Sad to know, some churches today, they change the way they preach the gospel. You cannot anymore hear the gospel, even when they preach. It's all about love, loving the brethren. The way they preach, the way they worship, the way they sing. They don't have any more song leader. They have worship team leader. And they song, they sing songs that is 7-11. We call it 7-11. Seven words repeated 11 times. But our God, Jesus Christ, doesn't change. He doesn't change the way of salvation. It's still the same. The person and life of Jesus is the definition of mission. Number two, in In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In verse 4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So number 2, there is the promise of missions. The promise of missions. Number 1, what is that? The person of missions is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2, there is the promise of mission. In verse 8, it says there, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So there is the promise of empowerment. It is the Holy Spirit that will empower us. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says, 24:49 of the book of Luke, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father." See that? It is not Jesus Christ. So who was that promise? It is the Father's promise. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So there is the promise of an empowerment with the Holy Ghost. That's why we don't have to be afraid when we share the gospel to someone who is lost. Because it is not us who is talking. It is the Holy Ghost. We just let ourselves be used, be an instrument so that the gospel could be said. There is the power, the promise of empowerment. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." The Holy Ghost is our comforter, that he may abide with you forever. It is the Holy Spirit that comforts us when we are in grief. It is the Holy Spirit that guides us day to day. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us of his word. That's why when we go to God's word, "Dear Holy Spirit, please illumine me." He is our comforter, our guide, our teacher, and our helper. So there is the promise of missions, the empowerment. There is also the promise of Christ's presence in our life. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Matthew 28:20, last of the commission, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Look at that. And lo, I am with you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to be scared when we approach people about the gospel. We have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we have also Christ's presence in us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a verse in that in the Bible. He will not leave us comfortless. So there is the promise of empowerment. There is the promise of Christ's presence. But also, there is also that promise of responsibility. There is the promise of responsibility as a body. The body of Christ, the New Testament church, is not only just to enjoy this spiritual gift, this Holy Spirit, but we need to use it for souls. We need to use it to win souls and to live our life as Christians. By the way, you say, why we need to live our life in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if we are not living our life in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are not walking also along His will. If we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, then it's opposite. If we will not be walking with the Holy Spirit, we are walking with our flesh. So we need to be, we have that responsibility. We have all that Jesus did in His life and ministry. If we see that, He did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. He did it through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you look in verse number 2 in our text, it says there, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. So, all the things that Jesus Christ did in this world, He did it through the power also of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 3, verse 34. John 3:34, it says, for He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So God the Father gave Him everything, not just by measure, not just by a little of a degree, but everything was given unto Him. He did it in the power of His, He did not do it in the power of His being God. He did it in the power of also of the Holy Spirit. Why? So He could also show us, He could show us that we also can be, we can live and reach the lost through the power of the Holy Ghost. He is setting an example for us. So that promise was made true on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It showed that God's Holy Spirit can enable anyone to win souls. The power of this Holy Spirit can enable everyone who is saved this morning. The Holy Spirit can enable you. Can enable you to win also the lost to Christ. So the person of mission, it's Jesus Christ. And there is the promise of mission, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and Christ's presence. Thirdly, in verse 6 in our text, verse number 6 and 7, it says here, when they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So the disciples were asking the Lord, now, Jesus Christ, you have already resurrected. Will you now restore to us the kingdom of Israel? Now, we knew that during this time, the Jews, Israel was still under the Romans. Am I right? In verse 7, Jesus said to them, and He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. So, in the disciples' mind, they said, Lord, we want you to restore the glory of Israel. When are you going to restore Israel so that we can live in peace, we can live in harmony? But that is not the priority of God. So thirdly, let me submit to you, there is the priority of missions. The priority of missions. Well, the Israelites, they said they wanted God to restore Israel back to its glory. They wanted life itself to be different because they were under the Romans at the time. They wanted heaven right then. And they knew that God had all these promises as well, because they have read that in the Old Testament that one day you will become a nation. But that is not God's priority. Mission is God's priority program. And God is a God of order. Yes, Jesus Christ could just, maybe during the time, he could restore Israel. But there's a priority. God still wants mankind to be saved. The world today has priority of social programs. Every government in the world has priorities on educational program. Here in Australia, it's very good. The education system is good. That was my testimony. The 2015, the government of Australia was offering us a free certificate for us to be competitive with Australians. That during that time, where the job consultant asked me, "What is your long-term plan? Your short-term plan, your job right now is just your short-term plan." So that's why when I went home, God put a burden in my heart. God told me, "I'm calling you into the ministry." So that's the time I enrolled. So just sidetrack. But again, God's priority is missions. Governments has its priorities in educational program. Governments has its priorities on economic programs. But what about us today? What about you, Christian? How about the souls of men? Is it your priority? Again, it is not the priority of the government. Is it not the responsibility of the government? Is it not the responsibility of our councils, of the school or the schools even? It is our responsibility. Is that your priority in life? Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Mark 8, 36 and 37. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Jesus Christ values a soul more than anything. More than anything. What about the souls of men? Is it your priority? Jesus Christ put things in perspective by priority. Yes, Israel, when Jesus told them, "It is not for you to know." Because one day, Israel, 1948, became a nation. But still, Israel has to acknowledge Jesus Christ. Because right now, not all Israel are saved. Not all Israelites are saved. But after the rapture, during the tribulation period, they will acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the King that they crucify on the cross. And after the tribulation, so after 7 years, Jesus Christ will come back and he will set up his kingdom here on earth. So God has a priority. The kingdom, not a priority. Souls, man. That's why in verse number 8, it says there, verse 8, "that you shall receive power." So after he said in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father had put you into in his own power." Verse number 8, it says, "But ye shall receive after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And what? "Ye shall be" what? "Witnesses." So God, Jesus Christ wants us to be witnesses of him. We have to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because that is God's priority. The souls of men, lost souls of men that are going to hell, that is our priority. It's Jesus Christ's priority, it's God's priority, and it must also be our priority. Israel will be restored, yes, one day. The priority of God is not to judge this world, but to save it. Jesus Christ said, "For God," just a verse in John, in the book of John, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus Christ might be saved." And he uses Christians. He will use your body. He will use you in order for those lost to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's why we are missionaries. Each one of us are missionaries. Mission, soul winning, is more important than anything else. It's more important than houses. It's more important than jobs. March of this year, I resigned from my job. It was a very promising job. Two months before, I was offered. Our company received an order from the Australian Defense Force. We're assembling this wiring harnesses for their armored vehicles. 1,500. And 20 years contract with Airbus. Our company would be supplying. 20 years. And my team leader was resigning. And I was next in line. My coworker said, "Are you crazy? Why you want to leave your job?" And the more they said, "You are stupid. You're going back to the Philippines." Because most Filipinos are going here to Australia and you are leaving Australia and going back to the Philippines. You are resigning from your job. They don't understand. Unbelievers don't understand. They even ask me, "Is your job a good paying job?" I said, "Okay, yes." "Oh, because the owner of my job is the Lord. He owns the cattle in 1,000 hills. So what is your priority? Are the things of this world? Is it your priority? I'm not saying that you have to leave your jobs. Set the souls of men as your priority. Everywhere you see lost souls, tell them about the gospel. Hand them trucks. Once they receive the trucks, explain to them. Do you want me to explain? That trucks will tell you how to go to heaven when you die. Let us prioritize the souls of men. Let us be faithful in our evangelism. Let us be faithful in our soul winning. Fourthly, in verse number 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Fourthly, let me submit to you this morning, there is the path of mission. There's the person of mission, Jesus Christ. There is the promise of mission. There's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And there is also that, thirdly, what was that? The priority of missions, the souls of men. And fourthly, there is the path of missions. You see the path here in this verse? It starts where you are. Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem. The place where you are. It could be also your immediate family. Do we still have families that needs to hear the gospel? Do we still have aunts, aunties, nephews, nieces that needs to hear the gospel? We are our Jerusalem. Next, it reaches unto the surrounding region. Not just in Jerusalem, in Judea. Not just only here. We could also to the next. Could go also to the next places. That's our Judea. Could be also your friends. Not your families. Your families are your Jerusalem. It could be also your friends, your classmates, your workmates, your neighbors. They are your Judea. And then it reaches to the next cities, Samaria. Samaria. Samaritans. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, right? Because they're a mixed culture. The Jews hate the Samaritans. But the Bible said, Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria. And then it reaches to the uttermost part of the earth. Uttermost part of the earth. Maybe you say, "Okay, I'm exempted now because I'm just here in my Jerusalem," or maybe we could go to the next town, our Judea, or maybe I could go to my friends, our Samaria, but uttermost part, that's for Brother Dagan. That's for Brother Johnston. That's for the Babias. You could also be fulfilling this verse. You say, how? You might ask me, how could I fulfill that verse? And to the uttermost part of the earth. By what? Be faithful in your missions giving. In your missions giving. And in your fulfilling to the uttermost part of the earth. So we see the path here, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. The examples of this, a very good example I can give you is the Apostle Paul. His three missionary journeys. He reached Europe, I think. So the starting line for Paul, Apostle Paul, was this God's will. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself," he says here, "so that I might finish my course with joy, so I might finish it with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So that is the starting line for Apostle Paul. And it finishes in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul also told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." So what is our path? We need to what? We need to start. And we need to continue. We need to finish our course. Don't be an on and off Christian. This week, I'll go soul winning. Next week, just let them do it. Let us be faithful. Let's finish our course. Let us fight the good fight. And let's finish our course. Paul said, "I have finished my course and I have kept the faith." And then how was it possible for those fishermen like Peter and laborers could go so far and reach so many and they turned the world upside down? How did they do that? They were just fishermen, right? They were just carpenters. They were just laborers. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. What does it say? They turned the world upside down. So it does not require a PhD degree. It does not require that you are good in English. It doesn't require you to be educated. These apostles were just fishermen. You can share the gospel. They have turned the world upside down because of what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, they did it because of the power also of the gospel. Because the gospel will do its work. There is the power. There is the empowerment. And then the gospel also will do its work. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." There is power in the gospel. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, Hebrews 4, 12. "For the word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have also, because the gospel, it has power. It does the work. So don't you see? Can't you not see? All you are doing is delivering the message. See? We're just delivering the message. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have also the gospel, the power of the gospel. And what we are doing is just deliver the message. We're just an instrument. There's the motto of this Nike shoes. What is their motto? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Just share the gospel. Just witness. Just give the gospel to your workmates, to your classmates, to your neighbors. Just do it. Lastly, the person of mission, number one. Number two, the promise. Number three is the priority of missions. Number four, what was that? The path of missions. And lastly, in verse 9 to 11, to our text. Let's go back in our text. Verse 9 to 11. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked and steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So the disciples were there. Oh, there is Jesus. He's leaving us. And then two angels came. Hey, you saw him go up? The same will come back. The same Jesus will come back, and he's coming back soon. And he's telling him, get busy. Get busy. Go out there and tell the world about Jesus. Tell the world that there is a way back to God, a way to be saved. That man that you have seen, Jesus Christ. So there is the pressure or the weight of missions. There is now the pressure or the weight of the missions. Notice the pressure of the early Christians. Because Jesus Christ was not there anymore. Maybe if I was there, oh, our master is not yet here. He's not here anymore. So there is the pressure, the weight on their shoulders. Witness, go ye into all the world. That's why maybe in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, some became tired of waiting on Christ's return. In 2 Timothy 2:18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, 2 Peter 3, 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You said Jesus Christ is coming. Remember, this was written almost 2,000 years ago. They said, oh, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So sad also to know today, some churches maybe became tired of waiting Jesus. They went astray, leaving the old paths. So sad. Some churches now leaving the old paths. Leaving the old way of worshiping. Some strong, independent Baptist churches are doing that right now. We have also the pressures of this world is giving us. We have pressures, yes. If you are a working fellow, you work from 8 to 5, there's a pressure in that. You have to wake up early in the morning to pay. You need to work because you need to pay our mortgage. We need to put food on our table. There are emergencies like storm damage, anything like that. That's a pressure on us. But we don't have to worry because that is nothing in the sight of God. He can help you with that. God can solve it. But let us be concerned of the commission that God has given us. And what is that? The souls. That should be our concern. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Apostle Paul said, wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have not withhold unto you the whole counsel of God. In the book of Isaiah, in his vision, I think in chapter 6, verse 8, where God asked him, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, feeling the urgency of the request, Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. He did not say, here am I, Lord. Send them. That was my motto before. And every time I'll be attending a missions conference, and then all the messages, I know, here am I, Lord, send them. Here am I, Lord, send them. I don't want to go back to the Philippines. When I reached Australia, I said, Lord, please, make us permanent here in Australia. I don't want to go back to the Philippines. Here am I, Lord, send me. In conclusion this morning, the mission of Jesus is our mission. The mission of Jesus is our mission. Remember, who is the person of this mission? It's Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. If God is calling you to do something for mission, maybe God has talked to you in your heart to surrender your life in missions. Don't be afraid. Because there is the promise of His presence. There is the promise of empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Make mission as the priority in our life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Colossians 3, 2, it says here, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let us make missions. Let us make the souls of men as our priority. There's a song says, only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Have you ever witnessed someone? Have you ever shared the gospel to the lost? The path of mission, you can start from your own Jerusalem. You can go to the uttermost part of the earth without leaving Australia. Be faithful in your missions giving. Pray for those who are going outside. Pray for those who leave the comfort of their homes. Be involved in missions. Be involved in missions giving. We are all on a mission that is to share the gospel to the lost and dying world. Thank you.